Managing the wealth of affluent families has become increasingly complex. So what can we learn from the family office to help all of us to better manage our family's wealth during these unprecedented times? Well, you're about to find out from the CEO of one of the world's most respected organizations dedicated to family wealth planning on this edition of Your Money Manual. And now from his studio office in Scottsdale, Arizona, here's your host, Vince Annable.
Welcome to Your Money Manual, the educational podcast we design around the fact that when it comes to your wealth, your money doesn't come with instructions. My goal is to provide you with some valuable information from industry experts to help you make smart decisions about your wealth so you can build a rewarding life of significance. And today, we definitely have an industry expert, and I think you're going to be excited. I would recommend you get a couple of notebooks out, take a few notes. We're going to talk about how you and other up-and-coming wealthy families can benefit from the best practices of today's family office. Our special guest is Mr. Angelo Robles, founder, CEO of Family Office Association. He is also co-author with our friend Russ Allen Prince and John Bowen, his book, Maximizing Your Single Family Office. And he's also the author of his own book, Effective Family Office, Best Practices and Beyond. Angelo, welcome to Your Money Manual.
Vince, this is quite an honor and a pleasure. I'm really looking forward to it.
So before we get started into the meat of our discussion, you have an interesting story about when and why you started the Family Office Association. Can you tell us about that and why you were driven to this create this organization in the first place?
Sure, happy to. So it was during the midst of a crisis, not the one we're going through now, but think back to 2008. So a couple of things. I was with UBS and I was active in financial management for a number of years. And I also founded for the Hedge Fund Association, their chapter in my backyard in Greenwich, Connecticut. And I really enjoyed that. And I was looking to get back to something that I could be 24/7 dedicated to, that I'm impassioned by. And I love people who do what you do and manage wealth and all that. But it wasn't really where my passions were, at least at that time. So I had a chance to look into my Rolodex and think about what I would be good at. And that is my research, my writing, my thought leadership, my organizational skills. I love a bit of the stage, the opportunity to get up at events and all that. And that led me to create Family Office Association. I was familiar that there were one or two others in the space, and I thought they were very solid organizations. But I felt that global wealth, especially rocked by the 2008 crisis, people of wealth and their family offices, and even those that service them, were hungry for information, how to preserve wealth, how to grow wealth out of the crisis, setting up proper structures onshore and offshore. And the opportunity to put all of that together and launch my first program in Greenwich, Connecticut in 2008. And the rest, as they say, is history. I've been more lucky than good. I've had amazing people around me and people that have been mentors and have helped along the way. And you know, no one ever does this alone. It's really on the backs of many others that have been amazing.
We've talked a lot lately on this program about how virtual family offices, VFOs, as we refer to them, have arrived to help a rapidly growing number of wealthy families who may not have the financial resources or the need for a dedicated single family office. Why do you think we're starting to see so many families look to family offices and VFOs as opposed to simply letting their financial advisor handle their wealth planning needs?
Because they want to take more in charge and more control of their legacy, their wealth, and really everything that revolves around that. Many people have heard of a single family office, and there's a perception that I needed to have $500 million or more. And in yesteryear, there was some level of truth to that, although that is something that I've always challenged. But in today's world, especially literally in today's world, where the world is your oyster, where technology you can reach around the world. So a combination of having the right systems, the right technology, and here's an important one that is probably not spoken enough about. There are some possible tax enhancements and benefits to creating your own proper structures that manage your wealth, aka a family office. And really, the word virtual SFO is just a vernacular. It's a term. It still is, in my opinion, a family office, a single family office. So what I meant by what I said earlier about tax enhancements, some of your audience is familiar. In December of 2017, the lender versus IRS, meaning the lender family. And it's one of the few cases where an SFO was taken to task and won against the IRS, maybe a little bit of a strong term, but their proper etiquette and structures to what they were doing, the judge agreed there was certain tax advantages, even though the IRS was challenging it. So the family won. I won't bore the audience with the granular details of setting up the for-profit C-Corp structure in a family office, how it intertwines with agreements with the assets, where they should be domiciled. And again, that gets a little complex, but you could certainly look it up. It's all out there. And there are some attorneys, I say the word some because most know, just because they're a good tax or T&E attorney does not mean that they really understand family offices. You need to be more specific with someone who has deeper experiences in that community. But the combination of possible tax enhancements, proper structure and systems, definitely technology, and outsourcing relates to, if you don't need to bring it internal and you don't necessarily have even enough work for that attorney or person internally to keep them motivated and interested, you want to have a quarterback to help lead those efforts. I get it. But there may be certain services you're better outsourcing to the best of the best and doing the diligence and engaging them from that perspective often could be not only more effective, it could be more efficient and even save you money.
A lot of information, great information, especially in regards to a family beating the IRS. I like that answer.
Way it doesn't happen often enough.
No, it doesn't. So these are unprecedented times, as I keep hearing. I'm also getting weary of the term unprecedented times. With this pandemic, the recession, all the other uncertainties we're facing in our world, how are family offices responding to these changes, and how are they effective in helping affluent families endure and succeed during, quote unquote, challenging, unprecedented times like these?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like these unprecedented times do seem to pop up. We may call them black swans. We sometimes see them coming. We often don't. And this is a part of life. I mean, there's so many grave challenges from an economic perspective, as well as what we're going through with the virus. So to some degree, and I'm a huge fan of Nassim Taleb and his work, Black Swan, my audience through my masterclasses and all that would have heard me probably talk about that a little bit too much. But a family that's already wealthy, and often more than money in their legacy, they want to remain that way generationally. And you mentioned earlier, nothing beats the direct privacy control and customization that a family office, a single family office, or a virtual single family office provides, from an internal fiduciary responsibility to effectively 24/7. Now, again, you can get a little and say, well, outsource, maybe not. But the structure and the people dedicated to you, whether it's one person or more, is. And those are the advantages in, quote unquote, creating a family office. So in today's unprecedented times, what you want to look for, what are the big three? They're people, the quality of your people, both in-source and outsource. If you're going to do this, be rigorous, be institutional, and do it right, or don't do it at all. You need to have the right people. That means they need to be of great quality, of diligence, and they need to be paid properly. You need to have the right systems in place. A lot of families had a family office that was rather antiquated. One person goes down because of COVID, it seems like the whole operation is impacted. You need to have a series of protocols, you need to have best practices, and you need to have many things in the cloud or with technological enhancements where if something happens, someone else could pick up the slack. Practically, there's a manual about it. So again, you want to have the right people, the right systems, and I go back to technology. You know, it's not even the crisis when I created Family Office Association. We were not quite there yet from a technological perspective. Social media was just taking off. But look at now, the communication platforms we have like Slack and greater use of texting. The opportunity for project management, Trello and HubSpot and all these other platforms. CRM is incredibly important and underestimated. And again, if it's in the cloud, other people in the family office can know, the accountant, the attorney, and others that someone might have been dealing with, and now they're down or they're out. The opportunity for remote is amazing. Imagine you're the family. You're not limited just to your community. The world is your oyster now. And through systems and technology, it could be every bit as effective and probably way more efficient than it ever could have been. Now, that works both ways. Imagine you're someone who was in the Bay Area because the family was there, but you didn't have a passion for being there. You wanted to be a little bit more rural in Colorado. As long as you got great Wi-Fi and technology, you could. So it's an opportunity for the employer and the employee. Let's not just look back and lament for how things were. We have to look forward. We have to reinvent ourselves and make it better than ever before. So look at the positives for the employer and for the employee. Look at the opportunity for people, systems, and technology. And that's what I find that especially my larger scale family offices are doing. They took a little bit of a step back. They reflected, they adapted, they reinvented, they moved forward, and in many ways, better than ever before.
Well, Angelo, it does seem like a sign of the times. It seems virtual family offices and technology are meeting the pandemic, producing a great deal of opportunity for wealthy families and the merely affluent, as we refer to some. Let's talk about your books. And both of the books you've written, including the one you co-wrote with Russ Allen Prince, you talk quite a lot about best practices. What are some areas or some standards where family offices set the bar especially high to help up-and-coming wealthy families succeed?
Yeah, I mean, part of the challenge is there's relatively a finite number of them. They tend to be private. And research and thought leadership into the best practices of the best, it's in, you know, dearth supply. And it was great to do the book with Russ, with Peter, and with John. I was lucky to be a part of it. They do an amazing job, but I'm lucky to have contributed what I did. And sharing insight, especially from my perspective, into extremely large families and what's working, what's not working, and how some of that often trickles down to others, it may take a little while. You look at areas pertaining to global infrastructure, to wealth preservation, to how they're investing, to the long-term perspective. And we may get into some of that, but I want to be a little bit more nuanced and specific to your question. So that was really a blast. I think we often came away with actually what I just said earlier, people, systems, and I'm a little more technology than some of the others, but really the quality of your people, both insourced and outsourced, is going to determine the success of what you want your goals and your legacy to be. I've learned over the years in looking at these successful families that they have a vision, they have a mission, they have governance, which is how decisions are made, meaning they have a foundation of infrastructure for how they make decisions, how they reach their vision and mission, and how inclusive they are to the generations in the family. Here's a number one thing that I came up with and that my co-authors in the book, if you want like one takeaway, it is around communication. And now, don't make an excuse that it's during COVID. In some ways, it's never been easier, although maybe remotely and virtual, but to communicate. Families fall apart and often do not last, even with great wealth beyond three generations, because of internal struggle and squabble. And that often stems from a lack of respect, proper listening, and communication. You hear that word all the time, communication, communication, communication. If you're working with these families, whether internal in a family office or outsourced, or simply completely a strategic aligned relationship, you need to communicate. You need to talk about the bad news, not everything is perfect, what you're doing to address it, and you have to listen to the family of what's important to them. I call this being qualitative, but also being quantitative. You need to measure. You can't improve what you can't measure. And that's a problem in family offices as well. But you could be right 95% of the time, which sounds good. That'll be a great batting average or a shooting percentage in basketball. But if the 5% you're wrong, and no one's perfect, but if the 5% you're wrong has big consequences, then they're not going to remember that you're right 95% of the time. You need to communicate, understand what's important to them. And although I'm getting a little off track from what I just said, hedge big downfall, big risk, black swans. These are the things that you learn after talking to families and the world's best advisors and single family office executives that work with them, often in Forbes 20 or 30 families.
It seems even more important to these families is the role you play in working with these families. You talk about communication because somebody has to be there to guide these people, let them know about these new technologies. They don't just learn about them all on their own usually. And the systematic approaches that have become so important. To wrap up our conversation, A, now that we're seeing the rise of VFOs or virtual family offices, to help more of our merely affluent families, how do families know when they've reached a point where they may want to seriously consider using the services of a VFO?
Well, I think so much has changed for the things that we mentioned with lender versus the IRS and with technology, where, again, maybe even 5 years ago, we would have said for somewhat of a virtual family office, you know, maybe around 100 million. I think that number is much, much less now. We all have to define that differently. Is it 10 million? Is it 30 million? It might be. It's somewhere likely in that range. At the end of the day, anyone who built up any amount of wealth, effectively, they are their own single family office, even if it's a million or two, which again is more than 99% of the global population. They're still successful. That money is very valuable to them. So how they're setting up their structures, how they're engaging next generation in the family, what is their tax and estate planning strategy, and what are they doing from an investing perspective, and philanthropy and charity, all intertwine. And that's the whole great part about a family office, is it helps to weave all of that together in privacy, control, and customization, especially the word about customization. And I even mentioned control. Families of wealth that have had success, what a surprise. They like to have control. Is the single family office or a virtual single family office always going to be the cheapest option? Of course not. Is it always going to be the best option? Perhaps not. But it needs to be explored. Not enough people know about it. Not enough people are writing or talking about it. And the opportunity to educate so people can make an informed decision. And that kind of, I guess you could say, Vince, is where my organization, we're effectively a membership organization and consultancy. We're focused on families of great wealth and their single family offices, and selectively those that would service in the community. So providing trends, best practices, creative ideas. And like I think I mentioned to you offline, I did interviews that were multiple hours with the heads of seven significant family offices, all of them above 10 billion single family offices, one of Forbes, effectively a Forbes 20 family. And some of the things that I just spoke about are some of the secrets: people, systems, technology, reinventing, adapting, becoming more effective and efficient, becoming more productive. We didn't really have a chance to get into that. We'll maybe save productivity enhancements or hacks for a different time that family and their family offices could do. But if there was one relatively common theme, and maybe at that level of wealth, that's why, it was wealth preservation. They have the castle, they need the moat around the castle, but times have changed. So what do they do in terms of setting up their structures? Do they look more offshore? Do they do onshore and offshore investments? Do they look at tax mitigation strategies, offshore foreign asset protection trust, private placement life insurance, certain captives and other quote-unquote offshore insurance companies? Do they look at assets that have long-term perspective that they're buying distressed, and that's happening now during COVID? They know it may not turn around in a year or two, but they have time on their side. How about all the challenge with the Fed and monetary policy and governments printing money? What is that going to do to inflation? How do you hedge that? Do you look at gold, physical ownership? How about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin? We have families creating banks in Switzerland, creating crypto banks, doing amazing things with private trust companies and LLCs in Wyoming, including international families. So I would say the world is more flat. People are looking more kind of internationally. They're diversifying their risk. We have families buying farms, being active in direct investing in agriculture. I mean, I could go on and on, but these are effectively some of the trends that we're seeing. And there's no reason why, I'm not going to say all of it, but probably a good part of it can trickle down to the merely quote unquote mass affluent, and how some of it, again, could be learning opportunity and applicable to them. And hopefully as a membership organization and a consultancy with how to create a family office or reinvent a single family office. And I'm probably a little more focused on larger scale family and SFOs. But again, some of that trickles down to smaller and more virtual family offices as well.
Well, I'm certainly glad we're going to have a recording of this for everybody, because if they were able to take shorthands, the only way they kept track of everything you just gave us. That was great information. Thank you, Angelo. We've enjoyed the visit today. We need to come back and do this again, because I can see that there's a lot of other information we could probably pinpoint, take a little bit deeper, and we would like to have you back. And for those of you who are listening out there, for more information about our guest, Angelo Robles, and the Family Office Association, including access to an abundance of educational resources like podcasts, newsletters, books, original content, we strongly encourage you to visit familyofficeassociation.com, familyofficeassociation.com, and you can gather some more of this knowledge that Angelo offers out to us. Thanks so much, Angelo. Enjoyed it immensely.
It's been amazing, Vince. Thank you for your time. I loved it. Thank you.
Great. I believe, Jeff, you are going to take it over from here.
I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. Gentlemen, great conversation. Really enjoyed listening to it on my end, and I know that our viewers and our listeners enjoyed it as well immensely. Many of the same principles and processes previously used only by single family offices to manage the wealth of their ultra and super rich families are now available to up and coming wealthy families like yours through a virtual family office. And you heard Angelo and Vince talk about this, obviously. The VFO has a ton of benefits and advantages for qualified families who demand an elite level of wealth management they may not be receiving from their current advisor or wealth manager. Our free white paper and ebook cover the details, and you can get instant access to them both free and request a free stress test to see if a VFO may be right for you. Simply visit VFOAG.com. Again, the website is VFOAG.com. Your Money Manual is brought to you by Wealth Strategies Advisory Group and VFO Advisory Group, our virtual family office. Subscribe today to our YouTube channel so that you'll be alerted whenever a new video podcast episode is posted. You can also listen to the audio version of our podcast on all of the popular services, including Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts, available on iTunes, where you can also, by the way, leave us your rating and review. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time. This program has been presented for the education of our listeners only and is not intended as investment advice, nor is it intended as a solicitation of investment products or services of any kind. We encourage you to seek the advice of a licensed professional financial advisor before making any investment decisions.